T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The following is a KMOX Sports presentation.
Extremely proud of our team to be able to go to New York in the Barclays Center and win 4 games in 4 days against very tough competition, and really a couple of teams that are really tough matchups for us. To be able to really find different ways to win, but the common denominator was we were really strong in the second half.
I've always been an underdog, you know. I mean, I feel comfortable in that position. I feel like my teammates feel the same way, and you can make history. That's what we're here to do, you know what I mean? We got this trophy here, and I think we want to keep going. So whoever we're playing against, Virginia Tech, whoever it is, I think, you know, they're going to have to, you know, lace their shoes just like we do, and we'll figure out what the outcome is.
I could tell the energy and the vibe of the team. Everybody was locked in and focused. Like, I think it took, what was it, 11 minutes in the game is when I was like, okay, let's finish this game. We went on our run, and I'm like, okay, let's finish this game. We got 11 minutes left. We'll be in the NCAA tournament. We just got to finish strong. Just like Tremaine told us, everybody before the game, just stay calm. They're going to go on runs. Like, it's a game of runs. We just got to stay calm and stay together. This is what we came here to do. We play basketball. We're basketball players. We want to do this for the rest of our lives if we could. So in that moment, those 4 games in 4 days, we're not really too worried about being tired or anything like that, because I know for me, when I'm on the court, I'm not really tired. I'm so into the game that my adrenaline is just carrying me through it. So I just think we're ready. We're ready to play. We're not tired. We're going to get our treatments and do things like that, but we're ready to play.
I really didn't care where we went, who we played, but I was really preferring to play on Friday. I thought we might need an extra day's rest, so we got that, and I think we're the very last game of the first round of the NCAA tournament. But I thought we would be anywhere between a 12 and 13 seed. It's kind of what I thought we would be. And, you know, obviously I have a lot of respect for Virginia Tech and what Buzz is doing over there, and, you know, they're one of the better teams in the country.
Yeah, congratulations to the Billikens. Travis Ford, his team, they win 4 games in 4 days and get to head to the NCAA tournament. How great is that? It is the Munganess St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open line. Chris Raby with you. Going to talk a little NCAA tournament and bracket with Jerry Palm of CBS Sports next. If you want to join the program this hour, you can at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. A big thanks to Tom Ackerman and Jen Langosh for joining us in our 6 o'clock hour. We'll get back to some Cardinals and Blues as well. Chili's Week in Hockey with Alex and Amy is from 8 to 10 tonight. 4 home games in a row for the Blues. 7 of the next 10 for the Blues will be at Enterprise Center after closing out just a bizarre, brutal, heavy stretch of hockey over the last couple of months, really going back to the start of the year, but also the bye week and the All-Star break. It's been just insane what they've had to deal with, and they've navigated it pretty well. But, you know, you go back to actually the game after Jordan Binnington's first career start. Of course, Monday, January 7th in Philadelphia. That was Binnington's first career start. So from Tuesday, the 8th of January, until this week, Tuesday and Thursday, that is a stretch of 2+ months. And let's see, 36, 40. So you had played 40 games after the Philly game. You've now played 72 games. So you had 2 back-to-back home games after the Philly game, Dallas and Montreal. So since then, you've played from 42 to 72. You've played 30 games, and you did not have back-to-back home games. That's insane. to not have back-to-back home games. And you had stretches where you played 9 of 10 on the road. You had stretch of 6 of 7 that you just wrapped up. So an insane schedule. And the Blues still, you know, doing their part to stay up there in the standings. You get 3 of 6 points. A nice comeback yesterday. Second game of the back-to-back. Maybe not the middle portion of the game that you wanted, but to be down 2 goals, come back and get that thing to overtime and get a point was huge. So you're 2 points clear of Dallas right now. You've each played 72 games. Dallas does have the extra regulation overtime win, but you're 2 points clear of Dallas right now. And with a game in hand, you're 5 points behind the Nashville Predators. So looking forward to this 4-game homestand and 7 in the next 10 for the Blues. Predators have to deal with the Maple Leafs at home tomorrow night. So we'll get back to some Blues and some Cardinals. But when we come back, Jerry Palm of CBS Sports will talk bracket and more with us on the Among Us St. Louis Honda Mitsubishi Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX.
The Slu Saint Sation says the Billikens are headed to the NCAA tournament and we've got to have a band. Welcome in Jerry Palm from CBS Sports. We always love chatting with Jerry, especially when he makes time for us in March. What's going on, Jerry?
Oh, you know, just a little bit. Getting ready to go to Columbus and watch the game there in a couple of days.
Hey, came back with Slu. We just heard from Travis Ford and company. I know maybe not the team that everyone around the country is buzzing about, but for a region, Jerry, here in and around St. Louis that hasn't seen a lot of success in their college hoops, whether it be Slu, Illinois, Mizzou, your take on the Billikens winning 4 games in 4 days, some impressive wins in the A-10 tournament and getting set for a matchup against Virginia Tech.
Yeah, that was a great run. I got to watch a little bit of it. We got to see the championship game, of course, but we sent some of the A-10 on the Sports Network as well. So it was good. They were picked to win the league before the season started and ended up being VCU's year in the regular season, but they made a nice comeback and got the conference tournament title and get to go to the NCAA tournament. And Virginia Tech, man, that's a tough draw. That's a really good team. They're going to have to play their best to hang around with those guys, and Virginia Tech getting healthy now. Justin Robinson back there, you know, their point guard. It's really gives them a chance to be successful in the tournament, but they got to get by the Billikens first.
Yeah, I know that oftentimes we talk in, when I say we, I mean kind of the collective we or fans or folks trying to figure this out. So I'll ask you, and you can, of course, download your bracket and see Jerry's expert bracket along with all the CBS Sports experts at CBSSports.com. How much stock do you put into maybe a team that's hot? Or again, to use a cliche, a team that doesn't really have a lot to lose. St. Louis certainly trending well and playing some pretty good basketball. How do you weigh that versus not getting caught up in that, Jerry?
Well, for the smaller conferences, I guess, or non-majors, for lack of a better word, the teams that win their conference tournament, the only way they get in, right? So, that's the team that's obviously playing well. And then, you know, they get to the NCAA tournament, and it's like the gravy, at this point. I mean, you've got all this, build up, and now you finally got there. It's like, all right, let's just go enjoy it and see what happens, right? And those teams are loose. They, like you said, have nothing to lose. That can make them dangerous, right? That the pressure's on the higher seed in all of these games, and sometimes you see those teams buckle under that pressure, and you don't often get, very often, get 13 beating 4s. The 5-12 games tend to be the ones where the upsets start to happen, and for the higher seeds, it's a little more rare, but you do get them sometimes, and that Virginia Tech team, though, man, that is a good team. I saw them a couple of times this year. Saw them beat Purdue in a tournament in the preseason, and they managed to beat Duke even without Justin Robinson. Of course, Zion Williamson wasn't playing either, but Buzz Williams is a great coach, and that program is on the rise.
Jerry Palm with us. CBSSports.com is where you can go to see Jerry's bracket and all of the expert brackets. You can also download your bracket right now at CBSSports.com. All right, so let's start. In the East, Jerry, that's where SLU and Virginia Tech will play late Friday night, but obviously Duke, the top overall seed, is in there, as is Michigan State, who put together a heck of a Big Ten. How do you kind of view the East, and how do you view Duke, especially with Zion Williamson back and what they did over the weekend in their tournament?
Well, healthy Duke has been the best team in college basketball this season. And we've seen that again this past weekend. We've seen it at other times as well. They are the only one team beat them at full strength all year, and that was Gonzaga, who they could possibly meet in a Final Four game. But it's the talent level. Zion Williamson is a unique guy because he's so big and so athletic and so talented that it's hard to find anyone who checks all three of those boxes like he does. People look for comparisons, and I haven't got one. You can come up with guys like, LeBron, but they're really kind of different players. Maybe Vince Carter, maybe Larry Johnson, but none of those guys are what Zion Williamson is. He's just a unique player, and that makes Duke the favorite. There's no question, because you put him in with all the other talented guys. R.J. Barrett is the second best player in his own team, but maybe the second best player in the country as well. It's a really talented group. Michigan State had a terrific year, battled some injuries. Back at full strength and still, even battling the injuries, won the Big Ten regular season title, shared it with Purdue, and then won the conference tournament. So another great year by Tom Izzo and his team.
Is there a team in the East that is perhaps overlooked that you think could make things interesting and win a couple of games and be the team everyone's talking about?
Yeah, actually, it's the team that I didn't think would get in, Belmont. It's a really good team. They've got a guy who's probably going to play in the NBA. They were not at full strength in their conference tournament. Their center was out. He's an important player for them. But they're in a play-in game. They've got to play Temple. Fran Dunphy's last go as the coach of Temple and this tournament. And then if they get by Temple, then I think they've got possibly some other winnable games. It's funny, since they introduced the play-in game, somebody has who has won their one of those at-large play-in games has gone on to win another game in every year that those have existed. And I think Belmont might be equipped to do that this year. They get Maryland. The winner of the Belmont-Temple game will get Maryland. And Maryland is a team that is talented. And Bruno Fernando is going to play at the next level. But they tend to be sloppy with the ball, and that's not a good thing in the NCAA tournament. And then Belmont could see an LSU team that is dealing with a lot of off-court distractions, and I think the draw for the winner, whether it's Belmont or Temple, I'm picking Belmont, but even Temple, the draw ends up being a pretty good draw for the winner of that game.
And you have who coming out of the East, Jerry?
I have Duke. Yeah, I like Michigan State, and I think that, Tom Izzo can, create schemes that might give those guys some problems, but the talent level is just too high.
Jerry Palm with us, CBSSports.com. You can download your bracket at CBSSports.com. Let's flip down to the West and Gonzaga, a team that ended up as a one seed. You have a Michigan team, a loaded Texas Tech team, Buffalo, Marquette. I mean, there is a lot of talent in this West region, isn't there?
Yeah, no question. And the team that I think is kind of the sleeper in the West is Florida State, who got to the ACC tournament final. And, Florida State is a really just deep athletic team, a bunch of guys that are all about the same size, with big wingspans and, great athletes, and make it hard for you to get into an offense because they're in all the passing lanes. It's a fun team to watch, but they'll play with 10 or 11 guys. And, most coaches might play 10 early on while they're trying to figure out the rotation. And Leonard Hamilton, he's running 10 or 11 guys out there still this late in the season. But, they give people problems, and you saw the kind of problems they gave Virginia in the ACC tournament. It's kind of a bad matchup for Virginia, really, but it'd be interesting to see what happens when they play Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga, though, is a potential national champion. They're every bit that good. We don't see them much the last 2 months of the season because they're playing West Coast Conference games, and you got to stay up late to watch them, and they don't get a lot of attention because the rest of that league isn't very good. But Gonzaga is an excellent team.
Yeah, I know the loss last week, but should be healthy come the start of the tournament, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Killian Tilly's ready to go. He's had a couple of bouts with injuries this year, two different injuries, but he's supposed to be ready to go.
And you like Gonzaga over Michigan in the Elite Eight there?
I do, yeah. Michigan, John Beilein is a great tournament coach. Don't really know what he's doing specifically that makes him a great tournament coach, but Michigan tends to play at or above seed every year. And if they play above seed this year, they're going back to the Final Four.
All right, let's head over to the South as we talk for a couple more minutes with Jerry Palm. And obviously Virginia losing as a one seed last year. You have Tennessee, who's played such great basketball this year. Yeah. Just an epic win over Kentucky over the weekend, right, despite losing to Auburn. And, again, with Purdue and Wisconsin and also a couple of, I know, double-digit seeds that folks like, how do you start to evaluate the South, Jerry?
Virginia, I mean, I feel sorry for who's their first opponent? Oh,
Gardner-Webb.
Yeah, I feel sorry for them because Virginia's going to light them up. You know, they are not going to be threatened to lose again as a one seed. It's that's a tough draw for Gardner-Webb. But Virginia is better this year than they have been in past years because they're more versatile offensively. They're more efficient offensively. It's the best offense that Tony Bennett has had at Virginia. He's got a tough draw in the sense that you could come across. Kansas State is not healthy. Dean Wade is not playing, as far as I know. And if that's true, I don't think they're going to be in this tournament very long. Otherwise, I think Kansas State could be troublesome for somebody. But I've got them playing Wisconsin in the Sweet 16, which would be funny because what Tony Bennett is doing at Virginia, his dad did at Wisconsin 20 years earlier. So it's and Wisconsin still plays the same way. So you might see a game played in the 40s if they play each other. But and then Tennessee is a team that I thought before the season could make the Final Four. Was that kind of a team? They're not just good, but they're old and good, and you don't get that very often in the NCAA tournament. Purdue is a wild card. If Carson Edwards is playing well, Purdue is capable of winning that region as well. But I think it's really limited number of teams. It's those three, Virginia, Purdue, and Tennessee, that could win the region.
What, aside from their experience, what does Tennessee do so well? We've seen them a couple of times, obviously, against Mizzou and here in the SEC. And I know that, from a national standpoint, the folks that cover college basketball have been, on them all year like you. But it doesn't seem like there's a ton of buzz around them, at least just from a mainstream perspective, even when they were ranked number one for a couple of weeks earlier.
It's because it's all about Duke. Yeah, everybody's talking about Duke or Carolina or Virginia. Not even Virginia. It's really just about Duke and Carolina. So if you're not one of them, they're not talking about you. Even Virginia doesn't get a lot of talk. They're a number one seed. Nobody talks about them. Nobody really talks about Gonzaga. Tennessee is a great team. They've got skilled guys at every position on the floor. Grant Williams is an All-American, but Admiral Schofield's really good. Bone, the point guard's really good. They've got five guys who can beat you. And they play well together because they've been doing it for a while. And, it's a great advantage for Rick Barnes. He's done a fantastic job building this program back up. But what he can do is his team's going through a lull on the court. He doesn't have to jump right up and call timeout. They can play their way through some stuff. And he doesn't have to do as much hand-holding with these guys because they know how to play together. That chemistry is there. And that's something that's really, you can't just teach it. It has to develop over time, and Tennessee's got it.
And you think we end up with Tennessee and Virginia in the Elite Eight?
Yeah, I think so. I picked Tennessee to go to the Final Four. It's funny because I think all of my Final Four picks were the teams I picked at the beginning of the year, and they just ended up in different regions in the actual tournament. And I still like all of these teams. But it's going to be great. I mean, the top 8 to 10 teams in this tournament are all capable of winning it.
All right, with that being said, then tell us finally who you like in the Midwest and how you kind of start to evaluate that group with obviously both North Carolina and Kentucky, but Houston, yeah, Kansas, the SEC champs, yeah, Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, Houston is to me kind of the wild card in that region because you talk about not getting any attention. They're in the American, yeah, Conference, right? So nobody talks about, what are they, 29-3? It's a fantastic team that Kelvin Sampson's probably going to be the national coach of the year. He's got this program resurrected and playing at a fantastic level. They are skilled shooters. They are athletic. They can rebound. They play good defense. They do everything well, and they can score in spurts. They didn't get one against Cincinnati in the American Championship game. Cincinnati's an excellent team too, but Houston is a team that could have been a higher seed. That's not a seeding complaint. I mean, they just could have been. Their resume probably didn't merit it, but that's a fantastic team, capable of even winning that region.
So Duke, Gonzaga on the left side, Tennessee on the right side. Who do you have coming out of the Midwest and rounding out your final four? Okay, Kentucky.
Yeah, so Kentucky and Carolina though is playing extremely well here late in the season since Louisville beat them by 30 at home. You know, at Carolina. I don't know if Carolina's lost since until they lost to Duke in the ACC tournament. It's they've been on quite a roll.
And then how do you see the title game going right now?
I have Duke and Tennessee in the title game, Duke winning the championship. It's hard to pick against all that talent.
Young team against a veteran team.
Yeah, and the thing about Duke is they're not flawless. I mean, you can't, try not to get star-crossed watching them play. But, they're not a great three-point shooting team, and they're not a great free-throw shooting team. And, in a tight game, free throws, you can't hit them. That could hurt you. And in a game where maybe if they get behind and have to start relying on the three, that could be a problem for them because it's not something they do especially well. Or if they get caught up in a game and just start falling in love with it, and that's how you really beat Duke, is you try and keep them out of the paint, make them shoot threes, but good luck with that.
All right, so Duke over Tennessee is what you have. Duke, Gonzaga, Tennessee, and Kentucky. If folks are filling out their brackets and they're looking for a couple of teams that maybe could pick them up some extra points, could separate them. You gave us Belmont earlier that you said could make a bit of a run. Regardless of whether you picked them, Jerry, are there a couple of other maybe double-digit teams that you think could make some noise and could win a couple of games?
Yeah, I like a couple of the 5 seeds. Not 5s, 12s. New Mexico State is playing Auburn, the SEC tournament winner. I think sometimes when you have a run like Auburn just made, 4 games in 4 days in a major conference, sometimes there's a bit of a letdown for that team. And New Mexico State, plays in the WAC, and nobody talks about the WAC, but they're 30-3, I think it is, or 30-4. They took Kansas, when Kansas was still Kansas, they played them a 3-point game in Lawrence, took them right down to the wire. And this is a very capable team, and Auburn had better show up ready to play. And then also, I think the 5-12 that has everybody kind of excited is Marquette and Murray State. It'll be a rare game for Marquette when Marcus Howard isn't the best player on the floor, because that'll be John Morant, the guard for Murray State, who's considered to be a lottery pick in next year's draft. You don't often see players like that on a team like Murray State, although Murray State at one time had Popeye Jones, you may recall. But that figures to be a pretty fun game. I could see Murray State winning that game and maybe another, because when you've got a guy like John Morant of that talent level on the floor, almost every game they play, Murray State's going to have the best player on the floor. And that's really unusual for a 12-seed team.
Jerry Palm, again, read everything at CBSSports.com. See his full bracket, all the expert brackets, and download your bracket at CBSSports.com. We appreciate the time as always, man. Thanks so much, Jerry.
All right, take care.
That's Jerry Palm, and giving us a couple of teams that he really likes who could potentially come out as double digits. I kind of take the approach that Ackerman takes. Just fill it out and hope for the best. But if you're agonizing and analyzing and going back and forth and back and forth, yeah, I don't know how often that works out for anyone. But there you have it, Jerry Palm, who likes, in his Final Four, Duke, Gonzaga, Tennessee, and Kentucky, and then he has Duke over Tennessee in the title game. A lot of love for Tennessee, rightfully so. That team is really good. That game was awesome against Kentucky on Saturday, where Tennessee was up like 6 or 7 with like 9 minutes left. I think Kentucky was up 6 or 7 with like 4 minutes left. And then Tennessee ends up coming back and hitting a massive three down the stretch and winning that game. So thank you to Jerry Palm. We'll take another break, come back. Want to get into a little more baseball, so some Blues stuff as well. Phone number is 436-7900. Chili's Week in Hockey coming up from 8 until 10. Right now, though, it's the Munganess St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you back in a moment on KMOX.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX.
Thank you to Jerry Palm from CBS Sports for joining us to talk bracket. Chris Raby with you. It is the Munganess St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Mike Anderson in the house as well. Chili's Week in Hockey with Alex and Amy. Coming up from 8 until 10, four-game homestand for the Blues. Starts tomorrow with the Edmonton Oilers in town. All right, a couple more things to get to, including Mizzou football spring practice at the midway point. And Mike Kelly was joined by Mizzou head coach Barry Odom on sports on a Sunday morning yesterday, talking his staff, spring practice, Kelly Bryant, and more at Conversation right now.
When you hire good guys, you've got to fight to keep them at times. You faced some of those challenges during this offseason, but you also faced an additional challenge in terms of trying to re-recruit some of your seniors who some other schools within your own league were trying to poach after the sanctions were announced. Just discuss that kind of strange quirk, if you will.
Yeah, the thing with our staff, and I always want guys, want to recruit guys that are competitive, that are really good at what they do, and I want them, if there is opportunity, to move up. So an assistant coach to move up to be a coordinator, I think that's awesome. Coordinators move up to be head coaches, that's great. And when you hire good people, those things usually happen. The staff that we have in place now, I have a really comfort level in who they are, the way that they've worked, the reasons that they're here, and the vision that they have on getting this done together. It's a really, really good group. The ways that, regarding now the sanctions, when they were handed down, one of the things that didn't get stayed was the opportunity for anyone that's got 1 year left of eligibility, they're free and open to transfer. So that's something that we'll continue to battle from now until we start school next semester. It doesn't stop just because the, you know, get into the summer, it's still going on. They've got an opportunity to go leave. And the things that our seniors have said, you know, in the last couple of days about their stance on that, you couldn't be more proud of a group on the response that they've had, the way they've really handled something that we didn't know that was coming, you know, some adversity, the way that maybe it's brought us a little closer together. And I'd be naive to think that there's still not recruiting going on. I know that there is. I mean, my guys have an open relationship and the ability to communicate with me. They tell me every step of the way kind of where we are. But the grass is not always greener somewhere else. They realize that. They know what we've got here. They want to be a part of it, and they want to lead this team to a great 2019.
During the offseason, you were able to bring in a gentleman by the name of Kelly Bryant. He was a fifth-year transfer that was talked about and was widely recruited. He decided to come here. What have you learned about Kelly Bryant since his arrival in Columbia, Missouri?
Well, he's such a great young man, just his personality. He lights up a room. His personality and attitude is infectious. Or anybody that comes in contact with him, he's experienced. He loves the game of football, and you can see why he has been successful in the opportunities that he's had, because he is a talented kid on the field, but also his teammates want to play with him. They want to play hard. They want to do right. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see how he continues to grow in every area. You know, you talk about the skill set that he has, which is a lot of fun to watch, but also he knows he can get better and he's going to. And the way that he has taken ownership to an extent of this group, and it's been a lot of fun to watch in a short time transform the way it is. And you know, we know that we're going to have, there'll be some ups and downs here. Not every spring practice is going to go exactly the way that, that you script it for him. But he's been through, you know, the ups and the downs, and he understands, you know, the progress that's being made.
How surprised are you that he captured this group so quickly?
You know, getting to know him as we did in the recruiting process, I thought he had kind of a unique ability to do that. But also it takes a team that you're stepping into as a senior playing quarterback with some fanfare. It takes a group that, that welcomes him with open arms, and our guys have done that. And I also look at his ego is really, really low. And he's one of the guys, and that makes this thing work.
How does he change your ability in terms of the things you can do from an offensive standpoint?
Yeah, I think the structure of kind of who we are, you know, he can throw the ball. He's very talented in that area. He also can move the pocket and do some things when he gets on the perimeter. If the throw is or isn't there, there's some things in the quarterback run game that he's had success with. So it changes the dynamic a little bit on really being a dual threat. But also, he's a thrower, and some of the throws that I've seen him make so far, very impressive. He can make them all on the field. You know, there's not a throw that we have to take out of the playbook because he can't do it. You know, there are things that we did last year that he can do them all. And then there's also some things that he makes us offensively. You know, we got to create opportunities for him because they're there.
Who else has kind of captured your attention, if you will, through their efforts during the offseason and early on in spring ball?
Jalen Knox, so far, you know, workouts, the way that he's, I think, matured in a very short time. He's done a great job. He's a tremendous skilled player. Larry Roundtree is one of the best leaders we have. Tristan Castillo has taken his game to another level, as has Yasir Durant. And you look at Trev Sims, those three guys up front, they're going to give us an opportunity. Defensively, Jordan Elliott has been as good as we've had at that spot. Chris Turner's a tremendous leader. Kel Garrett may be the best leader on the team right now. And then DeMarcus Hasey, Christian Holmes, Khalil Oliver, Ronnell Perkins, all of those guys have taken their, not only their game, but their actions, their day-to-day habits to another level. And it's pretty awesome for me as I name however many guys of this did. I think there's probably that many more. Jonathan Johnson, for example, that has outworked everybody. We got a really core group that's exciting to be around.
You said Jordan Elliott, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the direct quote, but you said Jordan Elliott has a chance to be perhaps the best interior defensive lineman to ever play here. Is that accurate?
One of them. I think if he can continue to work the way that he is, do the things he can, I think he can be one of the best. It's hard to, when I haven't been around them all, to say, oh, that's the best one. But I think he's got an opportunity with his skill set, and now the way that he's working, he's got a chance to be one of the best.
Tristan up front returns, Trev returns, also Yaya. What don't we know about Larry Borum or Hiram White?
Both of them are great competitors. Case Cook, all you know, in there as well. As long as there is real competition, and there is right now, and we can throw Xavier Delgado into that conversation along with Mike Ruth as well. So we've got guys and bodies to work with. They've got the physical makeup that they can go do it. We've got to get them game ready because we've got a chance with the three that we do have returning. How important the communication is up front, those guys working together and find the right five and get them in the right spots.
How much work do you think Albert O is going to be able to get done during the spring?
You know, he ran routes, practice one, so he's, you know, full uniform, ran routes and looked, you know, good doing that. You know, we'll be very smart on the amount of contact that he has here moving forward. I think there's some things that he needs to do from a timing standpoint with our new quarterbacks. But also him staying to the level that he needs to, the experience and the reps that he needs to at that spot, it's important for his development as well.
Brendan Scales is someone that you've talked about favorably during this offseason too.
He's had his best offseason, and it's not even close. And I'm proud of the work that he did in the classroom last semester, and he carried that over with his work ethic on the field. He's got a role on this team. And he's starting to figure that out and gain some confidence, and I'm proud of him and happy for him.
How about Messiah Swenson? He's a guy that is physically impressive, particularly when he walks in because of his size. Went down early in camp a year ago with the knee. Just kind of expectations for him coming back from that injury.
I'm trying to temper my expectations a little bit because I look at it and I think just because he's been here, you know, I was thinking after practice number one, you know, about Messiah's work and watching it on film, reviewing it. That was practice number six for him as a Mizzou Tiger. And I'm like, wait a minute, he's more like a mid-year enrollee than anything else because he got hurt day five last fall. So really that's practice four. Plus he had, you know, spring ball number one. So, you know, we think he's a great talent. He's got tremendous skills physically, but he hadn't played that much ball. So now it's our job as coaches to get him to that position and to that point that he can really help us. And he's got the ability to be a great target for us and also help us in the run game.
Finally, the feedback that I saw that had been printed, written, if you will, regarding what Drew did at the combine was very, very impressive. Did you hear anything from anyone regarding that?
Just watched his performance and am not surprised at all that I thought he was the best quarterback there. And I don't know that it was close. And I'm trying to take off the biased glasses, but watching the throws that he made, the way that he competed, you know, he's going to step in and be the face of an organization somewhere and will be at that level for a long time because of the type of person he is and the great competitor he is. And he's got a tremendous skill set. So there's a lot of noise, a lot of talk. You don't know what's truth and what's smokescreen. But I know that he'll continue to impress. And, you know, the pro day that we have here on the 21st, I'm sure that he will continue the way that he's moving in everyone's eyes. And I'm really proud of him and happy for him.
It's great to see you. Have a terrific spring.
Thanks, Mike.
Barry Odom with Mike Kelly yesterday on Sports on a Sunday Morning talking about Kelly Bryant and the impact that he has already made on and off the field for Mizzou. And when you add to that the schedule, the favorable schedule, at least the, I think, favorable way that it sets up, a lot to be excited about. So spring practice continues, NCAA tournament, NHL playoff push, Masters coming up, and, oh, by the way, baseball a week from Thursday. A couple more thoughts on Dakota Hudson, how the pitching is continuing to shake out. We'll get ready for Chili's Week in Hockey as well. That's from 8 to 10 with Alex and Amy. Chris Raby with you at Sports Milan on KMOX.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX.
Gosselin at third, Hernandez at second, Herrera at first base. Herrera gets a huge lead with Goldschmidt playing off the bag a good distance towards second. The pitch, swing and a miss, struck him out. To an off-speed pitch, and Altair strikes out for the second out in the inning. The third strikeout for Dakota Hudson. There's a swing and a miss. A hard slider in, strikes out Nick Williams. Altair and Williams struck out, leaving the bases loaded.
Yeah, nice outing for Dakota Hudson today. Worked around a bases-loaded jam, and he has been great. I really think right now, Michaelis, Flaherty, Waka, Wainwright, Hudson. That's what I think the rotation's looking like. And hopefully more clarity on Carlos Martinez coming up, but maybe that's a bullpen guy and just let him loose at the back end of the bullpen. Hey, congratulations to the Mizzou women as well, as they are going to be a 7th seed in the NCAA tournament. They are headed to take on Drake on Friday. The 4th straight NCAA tournament appearance for the Tigers for the first time since 1983 to 1986. Very impressive. Big thanks to Tom Ackerman, Jen Langosch, and Jerry Palm. Thank you to our executive producer, Ben Boyd, and Mike Anderson, my guy here in the KMOX Studios. Chili's Week in Hockey with Alex and Amy is coming up next. I will be back with you tomorrow. Blues pregame 6:30, puck drop 7, for the Blues and Oilers at Enterprise Center. Until then, this has been the Munganast, St. Louis Honda at Mitsubishi. Sports of the line, Chris Raby, Sam, be nice to each other, and as always, peace.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.